welcome to Voices Love of Freedom.
Talk Radio.
It's great to have you here this morning. It's always good to be able to talk about Jesus and his master plan. And I was just thinking about how the devil doesn't need a lot of space to aggravate and to really get in and tear something up. And you say, well, you know, I'm scared to talk about the devil, you know, and I sort of am too. But I'm just going to say, Lord, keep him off me. And I think God already does that in so many different ways, that if we knew just how much that God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus kept the devil off of us, we'd be scared to death and probably too scared to go out if we really knew. So I'm hoping and praying that the Lord will keep the devil off me, and we can do what we need to do to be successful in getting the gospel out. But I wanted to look at a couple of things, because I just looked at the idea on some statistics that said that 40% of the people don't believe the devil's real. And I think about this March Madness and all the football and basketball competitions, and you know, just how incredible, at what an incredible level that these athletes perform at, and you know, just you know, very memorable plays that they make. But I just thought about, you know, in all these things, just how the devil works. You know, not in sports so much, but just the fact that, just how he's able to deceive, how he's able to do things, and how he's able to get into a position where he can influence us. And, you know, running for state senate, I've been getting a lot of questionnaires, and I start out through the questionnaire, and I'm thinking, well, I can get on board with these people. I can get on board. And then I get down there, and it starts to turn, and it starts to twist, and it starts to go in a lot of different directions. And the next thing you know, I mean, I'm seeing things that, I mean, I can't even believe somebody's asking, really. And the thing is, somebody wants you to sign a pledge that you're going to go a certain way on a certain thing. And the first thing I read in the Bible is, don't take an oath. Don't say, you know, I'm never going to do this, or I'm always going to do that, or because there'll always be a case when that can't be true. And those kinds of things kind of pop out. But everybody's wanting to put you in their little box and put you on their little mantle in this politics thing. And that's why we've got so many problems like we've got today. But I want to talk about the devil today. I want to talk about, not, I mean, we got problems on every side, but I want us to see the deception that's going on, the deception that comes from our news. We can't get a straight story. The deception comes from one political party over another. But all of this originated with somebody by the name of Satan, who came to Eve over there in the Garden of Eden, and he said, you know, if you eat of this tree, you shall not surely die. Now you say, well, why did he say that? Well, because God had said, if you eat of this tree, you will surely die. So you say, well, that should have been about enough information for anybody to realize that, hey, don't eat of the tree. Well, we can go through and read that in Genesis chapter 3 when we have time, and it'll show you that Eve, you know, she wanted to do it. She had the free will to or to not do it, but at the same time, the devil assisted that situation. And there's where the deception started. Now, how far from that deception or the fallen sin does it go before we have murder? Well, we've all heard the story of Cain and Abel, so we know it doesn't go very far before we learn real quick that Cain and Abel had some problems, you know. And Cain kills Abel, right? And then Cain says, well, I can't bear this. You know, once we do something, and once we get caught up in something, and we realize the penalty for what we've done, then we want to go back and change it. But that's another lesson for another day. So if I read in Isaiah chapter 14 there, it gives us a little rundown on how God put Satan in a position. Maybe he had run this earth at one time in the ancient past. I don't know how it all came to pass. But one day the devil started thinking he could overtake God and God's position. And it was that belief system that made him go out here and jump out into a situation where he'd rebelled against God. Now you say, who could rebel against the Almighty God when you're face-to-face with God all the time? You know, he knew God. He still gets back and forth between the earth and God all the time. So he had to know the power of God. So anytime you and me put our positions out there or our thoughts that we're better than somebody else, or our arrogance gets so high that we don't need anybody else, or, you know, any time we need to really watch, because basically we're saying we're about like Lucifer. If we don't recognize the power of the universe coming through God Almighty, and we don't realize that God has a plan for our lives, and that plan is to be a living sacrifice to Him and be a servant to Him and do the things He would have us to do, you and I are missing the boat. Because we were created in the likeness and the image of God in order to worship Him and in order to have a relationship with Him. And I can't have a relationship with someone if all I'm ever doing is trying to take their position. Amen. We get into that so many times. But I can't be what God wants me to be, right, if all I'm ever doing is trying to take God's place. If I'm trying to be first at everything. And what I mean by that is not try your best in school to make A's or not try your best on your team. But when I put myself, my concerns, everything about me, and I'm arrogant and I'm going to be first or there's nobody else, then I fall into a serious trap. And the craziest part of what the devil did is not that he persuaded a third of the angels to follow him. That's pretty crazy, right? But it's probably not the craziest thing. The craziest thing that he ever did was coming to Jesus Christ when he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and he tempts Jesus. He said, Jesus, I know you're hungry. I know you're starving. You fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. If you're really the Son of God, turn this water or turn this bread or this rock into food. And, of course, Jesus comes back with the scripture and says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So what do we have here? We've got a very interesting situation when I start to look around and I start to see that God has made a plan for his Bible to be all you need to know to get to heaven. Now, are there good Sunday school teachers? Are there good preachers? Yeah, absolutely. But Jesus is tempted, and Jesus gives him a scripture. The devil takes him up to a high mountain. He says, hey, you know, and the devil knows that the angels could fly, because guess what? He'd been one, right? And he tempts Jesus. He says, if you're really the Son of God, throw yourself off the mountain here, and it is written that the angels will catch you before you hit the bottom. Now, I'm very bad paraphrasing there, but that's about what happened there. That's about what the paraphrase was. So at the end of the day, when you stop and you look around at some of these things, it's amazing. There's a second time the devil tries to tempt Jesus Christ himself, right? So a third time, the devil takes Jesus to a high mountain. He shows him the kingdoms of the world. He says, worship me, and I'll give you everything you see here. Much debate happens on this, but if you read that over there in Ephesians, it says that he is the principality of the air and the power of this world. So guess what? The devil holds the power. You have to fight against the power of evil, the power of corruption, the power of, deception, of lying, of murdering, of stealing, of adultery. All the deception of the world comes from the fallen angel by the name of Lucifer. So he could have given Jesus the kingdoms of the world. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. It is written that thou shalt worship no other God but my Father. That's still a loose translation, but it's pretty much what he said. So after resisting the devil, now it went on for 40 days and 40 nights. We'll never know what all happened there. But at the end of the day, those three things, we need to know that when Jesus, in his weakest moments on this earth, when the devil comes to him, right, when the devil came to him and trying to get Jesus to make a deal, Jesus used the word of God to fight off the devil. You and I will never get strong enough to fight off the devil unless we're willing to invest in time and energy to learn what God wants us to know in the Bible. And you're never going to learn that if you do not surrender to Jesus and get saved. Because if you just say, well, I'm just going to read the Bible and see what's in there for me. You see what I'm saying? I'm just going to read the Bible and I'm just going to see, you know, I'm going to go my own way, so to speak. Man, oh man. You're not going to have anything till you surrender to Jesus Christ, but because till you surrender, that roadmap that's in that Bible is not yours. It's not your book. So it is like the newspaper. It is like the Encyclopedia Britannica. It has nothing in there for you until you are one of God's. Then when you're one of God's, then things begin to happen. So we know how the devil tempts Jesus. Well, he's identified Jesus, so he's with Jesus the whole time. So what happens is he takes the power of the day, which was the scribes and the Pharisees, and you know, he kind of hardens their heart a little bit. He knew that these people weren't going to let anybody take their positions, let alone a carpenter's son from a place called Nazareth. So they are on Jesus from day one. They're on Jesus from the very start. It's on, it's on, it's on. And they basically think that they're getting Jesus killed here. And I mean, in an earthly way, Jesus does lay down his life. But they take Jesus, they put him on this cross, okay? And we know what had happened up to then. We know the beating. And why was the beating so savage? Because it's the only time in human history where the devil was going to have free will to beat on God. Because, see, God casted him and a third of the angels down. Now, does he still move back and forth? Well, it depends on how you want to interpret Revelation. I have a tendency to believe that he still can go to and fro, but there will be a battle in heaven one day, and he'll be cast out forever. That's how I believe it's going to happen. I also read in that Bible where at the end of a thousand-year millennial reign, Satan will be loosed for a little while. Because for the thousand-year millennial reign, guess what he's doing? He's riding it out in a place called hell, right? He's loosed for a while. You reckon he'd be mad after being after he'd been tied up for 1,000 years in hell? I think he will be, and he'll come and he'll deceive those that have spent 1,000 years on earth with Jesus Christ. Who are those people? They're the people who will live through the tribulation period. You see? So at the end of the day, the devil has always been a problem. He's always deceived people. But the truth of God has given us to understand it. And there's not going to be any mercy when you come before God in judgment. And Jesus says, you know, you had every chance. You had every chance to surrender to me and have a relationship with me. The preacher told you, the Sunday school teacher told you, your neighbor told you, your mom and dad told you, your grandparents told you, your husband, your wife, your kids, everyone tried to tell you you were being deceived, but you would not listen. Is that where you want to be in all this? Do you want to be one of those that was too smart to believe? Read it. It's Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. Lucifer thought he didn't need God the Father anymore. Lucifer thought he could run things as good as Jesus Christ could. Lucifer thought everything in the world but the right thing. He thought in so many different directions. Man, oh man. Look at me. I'm the boss here. Well, that's in every workplace, and that's a scary thing. We see people get a little bit of power, and then they just run crazy on it. Man, oh, man. Isn't that kind of scary to think about? I believe it is. Listen, do not be deceived. Get you a King James Study Bible. Jump in there. Start reading this Bible, and God will lead you in places you can't even believe it. Because that's what our God does. I hope you have a great day. Look forward to having a lesson on here with you in the morning if it's the Lord's will. Don't be deceived, because that will not be an excuse. Have a great day.